Dette er så precis Simon. His divine grace. Receive Bhakti Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Friends, the co-host, Sri Krishna, Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasudev Gaur, Bhakti Vinod Ki Jai. Sri Sri Radha, Shama Sunda, Gopa, Gopinath, Shama Kunda Radha Kundi Kiri Govardhan Ki Jai. Granta Raj, Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Gaur Vimanandi. Well, before we can even start, I've made a major snafu. I've forgotten my glasses. Anybody got a pair of readers that want to loan me, see if I can actually make use of anything? Okay. Well, we'll see if they work, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much blind without them. I mean, I can see out there, but I can't see here, and this is important. Let's see if these are... Oh, no, this one. Thank you. We'll make a run of it. Okay. Let's try that. I apologize. This is a big mistake on my part. Oh, I'm not that blind. Okay. Wow. I'm very sorry. No, I don't even have it in the car. It's in my other car. I'm driving my wife's car this morning. Huh. Okay. I tell you what. I'll have someone to the verse. I can read my own notes, but I can't read the CC or my e-reader. Well, let's try it. Off to an inauspicious start. Okay, we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Oh, we got another pair? What the heck? Third time could be a charm. Oh, saved by Varuna. There we go. Oh, okay. One of the ladies, thank you very much. We got another pair here. Oh, we got glasses all over now. No, these will never work. These are perfect. Whoever belongs to these, you're as blind as I am. Thank you. Okay. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhaktavinda Ajaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Ajaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So a reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Text Number 100. Ananaya radito Ananaya radito nunam Bhagavan Hari Ishvara Yona Vihaya Govinda Kritoyam Anayadraha Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya govinda Kritoyam anayadraha Anaya radito nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno vihaya govinda Hritoyam anayadraha Someone?
Anaya radito nunam
Aradita. Worshipped. Nunam. Indeed. Bhagavan. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hari. Krishna. Ishvara. The Lord. Yet. From which. Na. Us. Vihaya. Rejecting. Govinda. Lord Shri Krishna. Krita. Satisfied. Yam. Whom. Anayat. Brought. Raha. A secluded place. Translation. When the gopis began to talk amongst themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Please repeat. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." The name Radha is derived from this verse, Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 30th chapter, verse 28. From the words, ana yaradita, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name. But the secret is disclosed here in the word aradita, from which the name Radha has come. Of course, the name of Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshiper. Mukam karoti vachanam pandumam jayate girin yakripa tamaham bande sri guru nitarin avancha kapatiri vischa kripa sindhu vivacha patitanam bhavani vyo vaishnavi vyo namo namaha jaya sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadvar shivasadi gaura bhakta kanda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 rama hare rama rama rama, rama hare hare namaste giri This section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is not a section of the CC that is unknown to anybody. It's a very well-known, very famous section, very much discussed and talked about. Matter of fact, it's one of these sections of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The chapters are much larger. There's a large amount of philosophical content covered. Srila Prabhupada speaks quite a bit in the purports here. The subject matter, the particular pastime here, it's actually very, very deep, and there are many different layers and aspects that one can analyze it from. It's a little beyond my particular grasp, but let's see what service I can offer to this particular verse. Actually, it's an interesting side point to think like that. We speak about serving. This is the mood of the Vaishnava, to render service. Not only do we render service to our spiritual master, we render service to the Vaishnavas, but in this particular case, if you happen to be the individual sitting in this place, you're rendering service to a verse from the Shastras. Actually, we can, and I believe that we should, see these verses as personalities. They are representative of the particular shastra that we're studying from on a given day, and they are manifested from the divine spiritual energy of the Lord. Therefore, they are personalities. And we should approach the verses in a mood of submission, in a mood of humility, in a mood of service, that trying to ask the verses blessing and trying to speak on the subject matter contained in. And we'll talk about this a little later, but this was the mood of Bhugarbha Goswami and Lokanath Goswami when they were sent to Vrindavan by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vrindavan area was completely undeveloped, not even developed to the point when the six Goswamis arrived, who came much later. Bhugarbha and Lokanath were the first of the Gaudiya followers of Mahaprabhu to be sent there for this purpose, and he sent them there to uncover all the holy places. So they arrived in Vrindavan, which at the time was a vastly overgrown area of jungle and forest. Not at all like the Vrindavan we see today. I don't know if any of you have been there recently, but it's a different place, at least to our external vision. So at any rate, they arrived there, and they had the responsibility of finding all these holy places. So, I mean, they could go around to the aboriginal villagers and, you know, this and that, which may or may not be helpful. Maybe they knew the history. Good, and then they would establish that place. So, seeing them as personalities, they were able to render that service. So, I'm just thinking this is a nice way to look at our responsibility as a speaker to see the verses we're speaking about as personalities and hope to attain their blessings and their mercy. So, back to the subject. Yeah. This conversation has not only deep understanding and ramifications within its own presence in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it does have its place in ISKCON urban legend. Supposed legend is that one particular pop singer was motivated by this particular subject matter to write a song that was very famous several decades ago, but you know, whether that's a fact or not will be for other people to decipher. But one of the things we do find here is the mention of the name Radha. And this is actually, as Prabhupada points out in the purport, it's a bit of a rare occasion to find Radharani's name mentioned in these particular literatures. Bhagavad Gita, of course, is the ABCs of spiritual life. It's the beginning foundation upon which a person comes to human consciousness and begins to realize what is the reality of this material and spiritual realm. And Prabhupada explained it in that way, the beginning foundation. And then, of course, Srimad Bhagavatam is the graduate study, more advanced stage one studies, and then Prabhupada many times referred to the Chaitanya Charitamrita as the postgraduate study. So postgraduate means that this is, you get your graduation, then you get your MA or your BA or whatever, and then you go for your PhD. So Chaitanya Charitamrita is seen on that level as a very advanced section. And the verse it's quoting from the Srimad Bhagavatam does not mention directly Srimati Radharani's name, although it is clearly inferred by the gopis, and anyone familiar with that pastime has no trouble seeing all they talk about Radharani. Oh, gee, who are they talking about? That's not a question. Anybody that reads this knows exactly who they're talking about. Similarly, Prabhupada does mention the purport that finding Radharani's name directly mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a bit of a challenge. You know, it's just not something that's there. This is a very important point, and it has a reason for it. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was tasked with the service of writing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he accepted that at the request of the Vaishnava community, and then he went to the different prominent personalities in Vrindavan and asked for their blessings. Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Jiva Goswami. He went to Gopalbhatta Goswami, and Gopalbhatta Goswami said, okay, you can have my blessings, but there's the price. What's the price? Name it, please. I want your blessing, pal. You don't mention my name anywhere, you're right. Nowhere. I don't want to see it. But you're an important person. You want my blessings? Oh, well, I do, but all right, here's the condition. So in that way, he approached Lokanath Goswami, same thing. Lokanath, don't mention my name. Lokanath Goswami similarly in other exchanges, always very, very humble like that, didn't want his name brought forward. Unlimited blessings, they're available for you, but the condition is you simply don't mention me. Now, this is symptomatic, of course, of the depth of their humility. One of the most important qualities for a Vaishnava to develop, one of the biggest qualities I'm lacking. If we get to the point in our life or in our history when there is the history of ISKCON written, I'm sure each of us, or most of us, some of us, will be looking to see, oh, did my name get mentioned? Am I in there? Hey, remember I did this and that. They didn't mention that. Because we tend to have an inclination towards false ego, towards self-glorification, so towards being proud of what we've done. And so we want to look in that way and see these things. The truly advanced devotees, they don't. They're not interested in seeing their name mentioned. Gopapata Goswami didn't want to see, oh yes, there's my name in the print. Oh, he remembered me. Okay, good, good. Oh, this is good. All right, this is approved. That wasn't their mood. Their mood was to be what we would refer to in the West as a wallflower, which is an interesting dynamic because in American culture, if you're a wallflower, it seemed that, you're really missing out. You're just kind of sitting over there on the side, not really being noticed, not getting involved in the action, not really, you know, nobody knows who you are. But for the Goswamis, this is what they wanted. They wanted to be the wallflower that, oh, what's that, you know, then they could peacefully and quietly go on with their service, uninterrupted. They saw these, these other things as intrusions to being able to render their service. Some Brahmin from South India, that's how he's mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And Gopalpati Goswami is perfectly happy with it. Okay, yeah, some Brahmin from South India. It could be anybody. And Krishna knew who it was. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami knew who it was. Gopalpati Goswami knew who it was. But he was happy. Yeah, some Brahmin from South India has done such and such. So in a similar way, we see here that Radharani is the topmost devotee. This is what's being explained here. She said the Prabhupada finishes his purport with the two words, topmost worshiper. This is Radharani's position. What comes with being the topmost devotee, topmost worshiper? Topmost level of humility. You don't get to that position by being a little proud and being a little, let me phrase it a bit in Radharani's case. For pastimes with Krishna, sometimes she'll step forward and, you know, take a prominent role or be a little pushy. But in the relation of bhakti and in the example she sets as a devotee for how we should behave, she's very, very humble. Always looking to bring the other devotees forward, press the other gopis in a position. Krishna was devotee, so and so. Please take notice. That's why when we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Radha Shamsund, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Damodar, Radha Govinda. Go on like this all day. Because we approach Radharani, please, you give me your blessings and maybe put in a good word for me. Isn't that what we say to each other? You know, hey, Prabhu, if you get back to Godhead first before me, put in a good word for me. We want somebody that's connected to put in a good word for us, right? I get this all the time at Lowe's. Hey, Prabhu, you got a job here. I'm looking for a job. Could you put a good word in for me? Yeah. Because we want to be connected to somebody that is connected to what our goal is. If your goal is to get a job at Lowe's, somebody thinks I'm the connection, so they, you know. If your goal is to go back to Godhead, you want to go to Radharani and my dear Radharani. Of course, we go through the process of Guru, you know, to reach that. But speaking in the terminology of her position, that we do not approach Krishna directly, but she's there to introduce us. So in this way, you know, her mood is to show that that isn't like a proud gatekeeper. When the Parikram group I was just involved with went to Jaipur, the gatekeepers at the Jaipur temple, they're very proud, big staunch guys, big, you know, Rajasthani mustaches and smacking turbans and big sticks or guns, and they're very proud. Not proud in an arrogant way, they're very proud of the fact that this is it, you know. You're not getting in there except the less I let you in. So this isn't exactly the mood that Srimati Radharani has towards encouraging us and approaching the process of devotional service. Instead, her mood is to give us that entrance, give us that facility, allow us to develop that taste. So It's interesting that in this regard to this conversation, that Lord Chaitanya is prompting Ramananda Roy every bit along the way. Let me just get to that verse here real quick. There it is. Prabhu kahe e sadhya vadhi sunis chaya kripa kare kat kaha yadhi age kichuhaya. This is Lord Chaitanya speaking in Ramananda Roy as they progress through. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "This is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more, if there is more." So each step along the way, this is what Lord Chaitanya is encouraging and eliciting, if you will, from Ramananda Roy, which is interesting in itself because Lord Chaitanya was sent by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to Ramananda Roy, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya thought, you know, if you go see this Ramananda Roy, he'll be very good for you. He'll really be someone you can talk with and help you along this process, you know. And so Mahaprabhu approaches Ramananda Roy in that mood of, you know, you have some knowledge you can share with me. I mean, this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You want to talk about humility, he's approaching Ramananda Roy for instruction, for conversation, for katha, to be enlivened in devotional service. So, and how does Ramananda Roy respond? This is what's really interesting. Ramananda Roy says, "Until this day, I did not know anyone within the material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service." So this indicates two things. It indicates, first of all, Ramananda Roy knew there was a much higher level of devotional service than he was going to share with common people. Isn't this the way Srila Prabhupada was with us? Srila Prabhupada came just trying to get us to know how to not eat with the left hand and clean ourselves after we use the toilet. You know, if I can just get him to do that, if I can just get him to chant 16 rounds, if I can just get them to follow the four regulative principles. You know, Prabhupada was thinking like this. So Prabhupada had a lot more than that. But his ability to share that was somewhat jaded by the audience it was being shared with. So Ramananda Roy is indicating here that he knows there's much more to be shared here. But until this point, he hadn't found anybody to share it with. Now imagine that. You've got this storehouse of knowledge, and you want to share that with people. But who are you going to share it with? Most people cannot understand these things. I'll tell you how unknowledgeable, to be polite, the common person is. I work with two guys at Lowe's, and they're responsible for unloading the trucks at night, and I depend on them greatly for my particular job of getting everything put in the proper place, and anyway, it's a whole intricate network, and so I'm really dependent on them. So I make friendships with them. I keep them buttered. I take them for shot on cookies, and I drop brownies by from time to time. I brought them back t-shirts from Woodstock, and you know, when I came back from Radama, I brought them both a t-shirt. And so one of the guys, I, you know, gave him this, I asked him, what color you like, yellow or black? He said, well, I like black. I said, okay. So I gave him a black t-shirt. Had a big Om sign on the front of it. Is there anybody in America doesn't know what an Om sign is? So big Om sign on the front of it with the effulgence coming out of it. He says, wow, this is really nice. All the way from India. Thanks so much. And he holds it up. He says, this sign doesn't mean I'm gay or anything, does it? I said, no, dude. I said, this is the universal sign of enlightenment. Now, this is how much the lack of knowledge is. You see an Om sign, you don't have any clue what it means. So this is what we're dealing with. We have so much knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us that we want to share. Of course, you can't say something like that at this time of year and not segue into the Christmas marathon coming up, the opportunity to distribute unlimited books at our hands. But the point is that this knowledge is there, but the common people don't understand what it is. So Ramananda Roy saying to Lord Chaitanya, you know, up until you asked me this question, I didn't know anybody could actually go any further than what I've taken it here. So in this way, he's, you know, taking things on to the next level here, and encouraged by this, he begins to speak. And so what is the next level he talks about? He begins to speak, you know, that this is the next appreciation to start to understand Radharani's blessings, Radharani's positions. So he starts to quote the gopis' involvement in this way. Now, The previous verse right before this one, verse number 99, is a verse that's quoted quite often, and it is the glorification of Radharani by glorifying her tadiya, glorifying those things that are attached to her. Translation, just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, known as Radhakund, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. How dear is Radharani to Krishna? So dear that the place she takes her bath is the place that is very dear to him. Now, generally speaking, where somebody takes a bath is not a place you want to, like, you know, it's usually the bath area. You know, other activities go on in there. But Radharani is so topmost, so supermost devotee that even the place where she takes her bathing, this is to be considered worship. And, of course, everyone knows Radhakund is worship. People go to Radhakund and take bath very, very respectfully. In the early days, maybe devotees were not accustomed or trained in how to respectfully bathe in Radhakund. Sometimes it was seen as, wow, swimming hole! But, you know, there's an entirely different mood. One approaches Radhakund, offering obeisances first before entering the water, taking the water on the head, and then actually very humbly entering the water, somewhat ashamed that your feet are going into the water that is Radhakund. But that's how you take a bath. So, in this way, there's a mood of approaching. And why? Because this place is so dear to Srimati Radharani. Because of the pastimes involved with it, because of the relationship between Radharani and the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything that takes place there. So this verse here that's quoted in the text 99, Prabhupada mentions, has many, many origins and is used in many places. It's actually used in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, two other places as well. So we see here now that Ramananda Roy has approached this other level of beginning to introduce these subject matters to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's a very nice mood of appreciation, if you will, present in this verse on behalf of the gopis. Generally speaking, our circumstance within this world, our existence in this material consciousness is one that is filled with envy. We're very much envious of anyone that gets any recognition or has a better position or more money or more facility or better looks or more saris or more kurtas or better karta or whatever it is. We have a nature that is, due to the material contamination, filled with envy. We don't see this at all. Here the gopis are talking about how Radha, this gopi as they refer to, has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place. But they're not saying it in a way of, you know, kind of envy and dissatisfaction. They're using it as an appreciation of how wonderful she must be. This gopi is so wonderful that Krishna has taken her away to a secluded place. Because, why? Because she has worshipped him the most. Nunan. Indeed, by her worship, Krishna has taken her to the secluded place. So this is the, Prabhupada uses the word topmost. Indeed, this is the topmost gopi, and they're appreciating her in that way. So the mood of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, well, actually the mood of all the residents of Vrindavan, is that Radharani is our gateway, that Radharani is the one that we worship. Bhartahari and I had a wonderful experience. I mean, I'm sure all of you that have been to Vrindavan have had this, but this is just very recent in my memory. Bhartahari and I were coming back from Mahaprabhu Bazaar or Lord Bazaar somewhere, and the rickshaw driver we had was one of the old school rickshaw drivers. Radhe, radhe! Instead of, hey, get out of the way, in Hindi, whatever that sounds like. I don't know if anybody here speaks Hindi, but Art Bridge Boss, I'm sure it would be Bridge Boss there. They use Radhe. Radhe, radhe. And when you're walking and you hear somebody behind you saying Radhe, radhe, and there's a little ting, ding, 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 the bell, you know that means there's a rickshaw behind you, you move to the side. This is a type of appreciation of the potency of always speaking the name of Radharani. When we with doing Govardhan Parikram, there's, you meet all kinds of characters when you go around Govardhan Hill. And there was this one man, I'm going to say probably in his 50s, very tall, stout, healthy guy with very, very long gray hair. And every day he would circumambulate Govardhan Hill. Every day. And the entire time, this is 14 miles, this is not done in an hour or two. The entire time, Radhe, 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 Radhe. It didn't matter what part of Govardhan Hill you saw this guy on. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Do you remember seeing this guy, Sesha? Really tall guy. And this was his service. Call out the name of Radharani and circumambulate Govardhan Hill. So devotees appreciate the potency of Srimati Radharani to connect us with the process of devotion service. Now, such introduction, such comments as this particular verse here would seem to be complete. Okay, we've brought Radharani into the subject. We've brought the gopis' presence into it. This must be the conclusion. Well, what does Lord Chaitanya say in the very next verse? Age kaha, age kaha, age kaha. Please, speak some more, speak some more. Continue, continue. So he's encouraging Ramana to, no, go deeper, go deeper. So this is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood, to always find the deepest point of submersion in Krishna consciousness. And this is an example for us. Now, while this particular level may or may not be applicable to us individually, I make no judgments, that's for you and the Lord to decide. But the fact of the matter is that the example of always submersing ourselves in Krishna consciousness and always trying to enhance that level of submersion is what we should be doing. We should be anxious to, in some way or another, finagle our fickle mind to, what was that, when we were doing Govardhan Parikram, we had this one verse, O Raghunath Das Goswami, O mind, why do you bathe thyself and myself as well in the urine of the she-jackal Maya? Such a heavy statement, but it very clearly is indicative of the state of our mind. Our mind searches out for all these just, you know, useless topics. We have to train our mind to constantly want to be immersed in the remembrance of Krishna. And we have to trick the mind in some way or another. Whatever it takes, you know, whatever type of scenario of changing the mind's direction, we have to do these things. And the biggest way to do that is by the association of Vaishnavas. By associating with Vaishnavas, we begin to think like a Vaishnava. And when we begin to think like a Vaishnava, what does a Vaishnava think like? He remembers Krishna. So this is why Vaishnava Sangha is so essential. On our own, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Prabhupada says this very clearly. I think it's the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Anyone who thinks they can become Krishna conscious outside the association of the Vaishnava, he specifically says outside the association of ISKCON, is living in a hallucination. It cannot be done. In other words, without Vaishnava Sangha, we cannot become Krishna conscious. We depend upon each other for our stability in devotional service. So, Lord Chaitanya is encouraging like this. Now, Ramananda Roy's answer, I'm just going to skip a little ahead. I won't go too in-depth because the next person giving class has this opportunity. But Ramananda Roy then mentions, okay, well, what happens here is that Krishna didn't actually exchange affairs with Srimati Radharani in front of the other gopis because he feared the gopis' response. Now, this would seem like Krishna's controlled by the gopis. Well, that's exactly correct. Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, whom fear personified is afraid of, but he's afraid of getting the gopis upset. Now, this reminded me of another scenario, and like I said, I'm not going to touch that verse too much because someone else will get the opportunity to speak on that. But it reminded me of another scenario involved in a place that we just had the opportunity to visit with all of the Parikram devotees, and that's a place called Mansarovara. Mansarovara is a very, very beautiful place in Vrindavan, and it's Vrindavan like some of us remember and like Vrindavan used to be. It's across the Jamuna and quite some distance away, and it's out through, you know, agricultural fields and forested areas, and it's very, very secluded, and hardly anybody knows it's there, and even less people go there because it's so so length can you get to? It's about an hour from what we know as Vrindavan, Krishnavalam Mandir area out at Ramanreti. But it is it's such a wonderful, peaceful place. There's herds, and when I say herds, I mean 20, 23, 24 count herds of Nilgai with their horns, and beautiful. We saw them all over. Peacocks everywhere, 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 everywhere. And cows all over, and it's very quiet. And if you look at the albums that were posted on Anandruna Maharaj's page that were taken by Ananta Vrindavan Prabhu, the photographs of this place, it's mystical. And this particular morning, winter had just set in. And so everything was overcast and a little foggy, and there was a bit of a chill in the area. And this kund, this Manas Rover, is just like mystical looking. It is a very mystical place. What happened was that Krishna was engaged in the rasa dance with the gopis. And unlike this scenario being described in this particular section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radharani had not arrived. She was a little bit late. You know, what was it? I was listening to Dina Bandhu tell this past time. He said, like the ladies, Radharani was doing the makeup and fixing and everything. She became a little late. He said, not that I'm making any judgment. He said, don't curse me. He said, but this is just the nature of the pastime. So due to preparing herself in this way, she arrived late at the rasa dance. Now, the gopis are all there with Krishna at the rasa dance, waiting for things to begin. All right, anyway, let's just start. So Krishna begins rasa dance with all the gopis. Radha then comes, and she sees that, wait a minute, you've already started the rasa dance? Without me? I'm not even here, you're dancing with all the other gopis? So she became, as they say, mon, very angry. And she began to cry, and so she went to a secluded place to cry, and those tears formed this lake, Mansarovar. It's a very wonderful place there. And this pastime, we've got much more detail to it in depth, but so this is one of those examples where Krishna, you know, instead of taking Radharani to a secluded place to have pastimes with her, she arrived late, he had already begun pastimes. So then, of course, he had to go to her as a dutiful lover and apologize and, you know, bring gifts and convince her otherwise and like that. And then this Mansarovar place became very well known. Actually, Lord Shiva came one time, wanted to get entrance to seeing the rasa dance, but he had to take bath there and become a gopi first. That's the potency of this particular place like that. So this is the pastimes that take place there at Mansarovar. But at any rate, this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is nicely filled with this conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, one of those few places where Lord Chaitanya is opening up the storehouse of intimate pastimes for encouraging developing that higher taste, especially in this exchange. And of course, we know then at the end of the exchange, he reveals his form to Ramananda Roy in so many different ways, and Ramananda Roy gets the greatest benediction. So I thought I would also speak a little bit today about Bhugarbha and Kashishwar. It's a little late, I don't want to go too long. Bhugarbha was a very interesting devotee. As I mentioned, he was one of the first Goswamis in Vrindavan with Lokanath. When Lokanath arrived in Navadvip during Mahaprabhu's Grihastha Lila, during his household life, this is before going to Puri, of course, he had lived some distance away, and all his life, all he wanted to do was go and be with Mahaprabhu, so he finally arranged it to go, and when he got there, Mahaprabhu greeted him and said, great, get comfortable for a couple of days, I'm sending you to Vrindavan. And, well, then, no, my goal in life is to come here and serve you. Great, I want you to serve me by going to Vrindavan. No, but my dear Lord, you don't understand. No, I understand perfectly. I want you to go to Vrindavan. But how will I go? I can't go to Vrindavan by myself. Okay, Bhugarbha can go with you. Now, Bhugarbha was the nephew of Lokanath. His father was Lokanath's brother. And so they were related by family, and they were very, very close friends. And so he said, Bhugarbha can go with you. So the two of them went to Vrindavan. And Bhugarbha, interestingly enough, he got this name Bhugarbha because of his austerities. Bhu, meaning earth, and Garbha, meaning womb. He lived in a cave. There's many devotees you see lived in a cave. On Govardhan, there's the cave of Raghava. You know, you can actually go in that. Sometimes you can't because it's filled with snakes. Last time I went there, it was filled with snakes. But this time it wasn't. You can actually go in and sit in the cave. It's not like, you know, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto shows the cave of Haridas Thakur. There's that wonderful painting, you know, Hari Das is in there. There's a nice little fire. There's four or five devotees sitting around. It's like a comfy little place. You ever seen the cave of Hari Das, Dakar? It's not always. It's an old crocodile hole. It's just a little boom, thing in the ground. So at any rate, this was how Bhugarbha got the name. And so he was living in this cave, and so he and Lokanath Goswami then went to Vrindavan and began this process, as I described earlier in class, of going and discovering all the different holy places like that. Then the other personality being celebrated today is Kashishwar Pandit. Kashishwar is a really interesting example for us. Kashishwar was the disciple of Ishwar Puri. So he was Mahaprabhu's brother. And the interesting thing is, before Ishwar Puri departed this world, Kashishwar and his godbrother, Govinda, were the personal attendants helping with Ishwar Puri. And so he instructed him, he said, what I want you to do, I want you to go to Jagannath Puri and serve Mahaprabhu. Now, there's two ways this conversation could have gone. What? It's my godbrother. Why should I serve him? That one way that it could have gone. Or, oh, chance to serve my godbrother on your order? Yes, very, very happy. This is a very, very wonderful example of humility. I was doing some service at Indraduna Maharaj once, something I was doing. He said, you know, you can't do that. You're a godbrother. I said, what, godbrothers don't need mercy too? Because this should be our mood in devotional service, of rendering service to others regardless. Oh, he's journeying to me. I can't render service to him. Oh, he's my equal. I can't render service to him. No, our mood should be dasa, 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 dasa. It doesn't matter. We'll render service to anyone. That should be the way we look at things. So Kashishwar Pandit and Govinda were sent to Puri to take care of the needs, to be the servants of Mahaprabhu. Ishwar Puri, understanding, of course, the need of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the facility that was required for him to be able to enter into his Gambhira Leela pastimes like that. So Kashishwar and Govinda arrived in Puri and they presented themselves. Now, you know, usually when you see a godbrother, oh, hey, I had for a long time, big hugs and exchanges, punch in the shoulder, hey, how's it going? They presented themselves in great humility, bowed down and touched his feet, and we're here to serve you. Mahaprabhu looked around and said, serve who? We're godbrothers. No, we're here to be your servant. No, you can't be my servant. No, this is the instruction of Ishwar Puri, that we should come and render humble service to you. So upon hearing that this was his spiritual master's desire, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had no alternative than to accept their service. So this is the activity of Kashishwar Pandit. It's most well known for that type of a service. So one other thing I wanted to mention was a wonderful experience I had at Govardhan. There was, when we were doing Govardhan Parikram, when you come out of Jatipur, at the end of the town of Jatipur, there's a little curve in the road. And then there's a dirt path that goes down to the main road that goes around Govardhan. And about 20 meters, about 30 yards or something in, is another dirt trail. It's off the road. And that's the one most pilgrims take. But about 50 yards in from there is an internal road. And they've started to, in the last 5 years, they've got manicured gardens in there and irrigation. And it's the most beautiful walk. It's a very, very long walk. It's just like it goes on. You look ahead and all you can see as far as the eye stretches is this sand path. And the sand's about this deep. It's so wonderful. And trees overhead and irrigation and bushes. Just so, so nice. And it's a really, really nice way to go around going down. But when you make that curve before you get to those three, there's a really nasty garbage trail. It's about this wide. And when I say really nasty, let me just emphasize nasty in a way that only India can be nasty, that side of things. People go there to take care of their morning business and throw their garbage from their homes and all like that. But there is a path through it. So if you bear going through that from about the distance of here to, oh, maybe the pavilion, you pass a couple of those cow dung thatched huts. And then after that, you enter into a peacock trail. It's nothing more than that. It's about this wide, and it's completely overgrown with all kinds of beautiful low green bushes. And you're from here to there, away from Govardhan Hill. You are at the foot of Govardhan Hill. And this path just goes on as far as the eye can see. So myself and one of the devotees, Srinam Vanamali, we decided to take a little excursion out there. And we spent about 2.5 hours walking through this. And it's so beautiful. You see the cows are right there on the hill. I don't know what pastime took place there, because I'm not Bhugarbha and Lokanath going around calling out the names and they're manifesting. But we just call it Peacock Alley because there are so many peacocks. I mean, the path is literally too small for a cow. And there's so many peacocks back there, peacock feathers. It's just a beautiful, quiet place, completely removed from the hubbub of Govardhan that we're familiar with when you go around Govardhan. And like I say, we walked back for about 2.5 hours. So many beautiful sights and so peaceful and quiet. Kind of reminds you what it must have been like in the old days to go around Govardhan Hill before all the development in the town of Govardhan and all was there. And we got about halfway back and made a mental landmark and decided next year when we're there again, we'll continue at that point and see how far it goes. We never reached the end of it, but it was just one of those rare treats of being able to go to Govardhan that was just very, very quiet and peaceful. No trash, no garbage, hardly any human presence that anybody had ever been back there for years. You know, it was really sweet. But so Govardhan Hill still has some secrets there. I'm told there's actually 2 or 3 caves back down that way towards the end that can be found. And, you know, that'll be my goal next time, find a cave. So we'll finish there. It's a little late. Thank you very much. I do have a treat for everybody. Anybody want some nectar? When Mukti Devi was in a bit of a, I guess you might say, a sour mood, she approached Krishna. She said, "Oh, my dear Lord, I have this problem." And the Lord said, "Yes, well, what is the problem?" "Everyone comes to me for liberation. I am granting liberation to everyone, and they're all becoming liberated. But my dear Lord, what about me? How will I get liberated?" "Oh, well, that's very simple," Krishna said. "Right, it's very simple. What is it?" "All right, I'll tell you. Please, my Lord, tell me." He said, "You simply go to Govardhan, and you take some dust from Govardhan and put it on your head. You'll be liberated." So Govardhan Renu is the most valuable asset that anyone can have. If you get the dust of Govardhan Renu on your head, you're guaranteed to develop love for Govardhan. So I have in this little container here dust from 5 prominent places on Govardhan, from Shamkutira. Shamkutira is the first place that Govardhan begins to come up out of the ground. It's a dark forest. The trees in there are a little darker bark. It's a very quiet, peaceful place. And then from Aniyur. Aniyur is the inside path at Aniyur is ankle deep with cool, soothing sand. And just such a pleasure to walk through in the early morning hours. It's just such a peaceful, quiet place. And then from Govindakund, Govindakund, it is said, is filled with all auspiciousness and is one of the best places to acquire Govardhan Shila from. Then on the backside, down around the back, is Kadambavan. Kadambavan, it says if you roll in the dirt at Kadambavan, that all of your inhibitions will be removed and your spiritual bliss will begin to manifest. And then from that place I described to you, just after Jatipur, with the manicured forest. So maybe once a little bit, and come up, and I'll be happy to pass it out. In the meantime, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srila Prabhupada.